Coming up on your favorite podcast, the PGA Preview Pod flies solo into Bay Hill Country Club this week for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I'll be talking about that, give you my picks for this week. Came up a little short in my fantasy last week, so we'll try to see if we can do a little better this time around. We'll look at the concession tournament. I love the golf course. We'll talk about what happened there and look ahead to what we see this week and into the players in the next couple of weeks. Should be fun stretch of golf as we get into this Florida swing. So all that and more as we do a little short 20-some-odd minute PGA preview pod next. Hey, what's happening, everybody? It's the Tim Anderson Podcast, the PGA Preview Pod. Good to be back once again talking golf. No Ty this week. This podcast, though, is always brought to you by my buddy Ty at tyshrupp.com, State Farm insurance agent to the superstars of the world, at least up here in the northern metro of Minneapolis and St. Paul. So if you need all your help with insurance needs, you got to contact my boy Ty because he's going to take care of you, as he takes care of so many up here. So please do that. Let's talk a little bit back this week after the WGC at Concession. We'll start there. I'll break that down. Actually, we'll start with some of the Tiger stuff. Nothing new to really report there other than what we saw last week. We were kind of on top of it. That news was breaking as Ty and I were talking last week, but he's processing along. It's going to be a pretty serious road back. I heard a doctor say this past week that it might be a year, might be 2 years, might never play professional golf again. And I talked about that last week, that I thought that that was a legitimate possibility, right? I didn't know that it's so hard. The back is already enough, right? The back is hard enough to come back from, to add on top of it this leg injury. This isn't like Ben Hogan, right? Where Ben Hogan was 36, he got hit by a bus, did a lot of damage to him, no question about it. But Ben Hogan, other than that, before that, was fairly fit, right? He was in shape. He was didn't have back issues, didn't have shoulder issues, didn't have those things. And it wasn't until that bus accident that he had those circulatory issues and various other damages that occurred to him. And he still played great golf in the remainder part of his career. Of course, he was playing 8 tournaments a year, not playing 15, 16, 17. Tiger already has a laundry list of injuries. His body was being held together by very little. You know, we're talking 5 back surgeries in the last 7 years. We're talking like 3 or 4 knee surgeries. I mean, really, since 2008, his body has not been good. And I think we're asking a lot of that 46, 47-year-old body when the time he comes back to see if he can mount up and go play a schedule of any kind. And I think that's just a long way off. Again, I think we're all happy that he survived this thing and that hopefully we'll see him out and about at some point, maybe in the road to recovery. We'll hear from him. We'll see him. He'll talk. We'll see. I'm hopeful for that. I'll keep an eye open on that. And obviously, if that happens, we'll talk about it here on the podcast because that's sort of what we do. But it is Wednesday. We're actually recording this on a Wednesday. We normally record on a Tuesday, but recording on a Wednesday this week. The A job gets a lot of attention as we move towards the end of a trimester, so you got to put a lot of focus and time into that, which is exactly what I'm trying to do. But I wanted to get this in before the Arnold Palmer gets started tomorrow. It should be another interesting tournament, no question. The field's pretty decent. It's not, obviously, what it was last week at the workday at Concession. What a golf tournament that was for Colin Morikawa. He was super dialed in. I was so impressed. I came out of there really impressed with Morikawa. Came out of there more impressed with Hovland. You know, I thought going in out of those three, I really thought Hovland was going to be the best of the three. I still think he's got a chance to be exceptional because he did everything at the college level, right? He was one of the best players in college. He won the U.S. Amateur. He obviously played so well at Oklahoma State. Morikawa had a really nice decorated career. I just wasn't sure if he would translate so quickly on the PGA Tour. He has. The guy who's fallen off here is Wolf, and he needs to figure this out. Like, I don't know what happened there with the WD. I tend to not get super bent out of shape about that stuff because guys WD, guys cut work to go do stuff. They, you know, people cut work all the time, right? I'm not going to get all sanctimonious and pious about it. he's showed up. He wasn't in a great mental frame of mind. Withdrew. I mean, he hasn't given the exact reason. We don't know if he's injured or not. But Matthew Wolf withdrew. He shot 80. Withdrew. Mentally wasn't there. We've had mental health days. Those things happen. I understand that. And just because you're a professional athlete, he's still 23 years old. He's not immune from, he might be 21. He might be younger than that. Yeah, he's 21, 22. He's not immune from having these sort of mental challenges and breakdowns. We all can't be Jordan Spieth out there. So I understand it, but I don't want to see that as a trend. I'd like to see him get a handle on it and get his game going. But he's right now falling behind. Morikawa has just lapped him as far as just overall game. Morikawa's won four times in his first 41 starts. He's won a major. He's won a WGC. He won at Muirfield Village. I mean, there's a lot going on with Colin Morikawa right now. It's good. He's, I think, a cinch to make this Ryder Cup team. He's going to be a tough out because he is a total package. He's not the longest hitter, but he's long enough. He's the best iron player on the tour, or at least one of the five best, because every shot he hits is on target. It's almost robotic and boring. It's like Iron Byron. Like, he cannot miss. He starts at 2-3 yards to the left of the flag and cuts it back in. And damned if it doesn't do that 95% of the time. It is really astonishing, especially when you watch these guys that he was going against on Saturday and Sunday just sort of fall apart. Like, Hovland played great, but Hovland hit two or three shots. Well, Friday he made that quad, which was insane. And he hit some great recovery shots on Sunday. That shot he hit out of the bushes, which it looked like he had no chance to get up and down from there, was incredible. But you watched it. Horschel hit a shot and ended up in the palmetto bushes, and he was done, right? And he was fishing it out of the pond on 17 or 16 and trying to hit it out of the mud. He did, to his credit. Morikawa never put himself in that position. Never was offline. Never was deep in it. He had a little stretch of three holes on Saturday where he let the field back in when he was up five and that lead went from 5-2. But short of that, he was just so dialed in. And the new putting style, I don't love it. Like, I putt claw myself. I'm a claw putter. And it's the most comfortable for me. I'm not a great putter. I got better putting with the claw, no question. It looks a little awkward on him still. It doesn't even look super natural. And yet, on some of the most complex greens in the country, he putted fantastic. Made every big putt that he needed to make. That's moxie. That's really, really impressive. I was a big Colin Morikawa fan on Saturday and Sunday. He's really going to be fun to watch. And he's going to be one of those guys that we have to look at, especially in places like Kiawah Island, where precision's going to be major at that PGA. But I think he's got to be somebody we look at in places like the U.S. Open or Augusta. I talked about this when we played there in November in Augusta when DJ won. I said guys who hit fades and guys who can control their irons have a great chance to win. Morikawa has to now get into that short list of guys who can show up to Augusta and win. Ty's already on the record saying that it's going to be Jordan Spieth, which that'd be freaking awesome if he did that. I'd love that. I'm a big Spieth guy, so if obviously he wants to win the Masters, I'd be super thrilled about that. And I got Cantlay winning the U.S. Open already, so that's already, book it, mark it down. I already said that's a done deal. But Morikawa's in the mix, and I would not be shocked if he is in the mix at Kiawah. I would not be shocked if he's in the mix at Augusta. He's now one of these guys that you have to factor in every week he tees it up. He's legitimately one of the 5-6 best players in the world right now. I don't know where he's ranked. Is he ranked 4 now? I'm not sure. But if he's got to be a guy we put on the short list every week. I think he's a better closer than Rahm right now. Like, he closes the deal. When he gets a share of the lead late, he closes the deal. There's not a lot of guys on tour who have that kind of moxie right now. So I'm in on Colin Morikawa. I think that was just a terrific performance. Super jazzed. Good for Billy Horschel. I was really happy to see him play well. Kind of like Billy Horschel. He's just, he's a, He's a fun player to watch. His swing is really quick. So I think when his timing's off, he hits some really bad shots. But man, his swing is pretty fun to look at. It's a aesthetically pleasing golf swing. Hits this nice little draw, but can cut it. I just kind of like him. I just sort of like his game. I don't know what it is about him. I just sort of dig Billy Horschel, and I'm kind of glad that he played well over this past weekend. And also, again, glad for Hovland. Wasn't glad for DJ. He absolutely derailed my fantasy team. It was disgusting. I was very frustrated. It irritated the crap out of me that DJ played weird. And I don't understand what happened there. Like, I don't get it. DJ, you saw all these guys who hit cut shots, especially peeling it off the water. You saw Morikawa hit cuts, and you saw, you know, Horschel. You saw all these guys playing well. And DJ, you just would have thought, man, this sets up perfectly for him. And it just didn't. It just didn't materialize. Finau was right in the mix on Friday, and Finau kind of faded away. It was just an interesting tournament, but I love the golf course. I'd love to see them go there every year for something. Figure it out. It'd be a great I thought this with the NCAA. I thought it was a great match play course. I'd love to see the Ryder Cup come to Concession. Would love to see that. Match play at Concession, where you can go from birdie to double bogey in a flash. It would be incredible. What a great venue for match play. I think it's something they need to think about, especially if they want to move the match play away from like the Austin Country Club, which I like that venue for match play. I think it's a really fun place to watch golf. I love the tournament there when they do the match play, but I would not mind if the match play wanted to move to Concession. Really cool golf course. Cool golf course. All right, this week we move to the API at Bay Hill. Bay Hill, I must say, when I'm in the simulator and I have a choice, I very rarely play Bay Hill. Very rarely. I don't know. It's not a bad golf course. Don't hate it. Certainly when I play things like TPC Twin Cities, Deacon's Lodge and stuff up here in Minnesota, the couple of the Palmer courses that are up here, you see a lot of things that are similar, right? You see the use of water. Palmer has a lot of water on his courses. You see sort of those dog legs that like to work around the water. That stuff's not uncommon, right? That's the stuff you kind of see signature things with Palmer. He doesn't play a lot of straight ahead holes in his architecture. There's a lot of like movement and undulation and dog legs, and he does a nice job with that stuff. I really like it. And I mean, I just see a lot of similarities with Bay Hill and TPC Twin Cities. So it's fine. It's great. It's a fine venue. It's a fun golf course. Might be a hair stale. That's just maybe me. I don't know. But should be an interesting event. You have, obviously, Rory comes in as sort of the odds maker favorite, the guy that everybody sort of has predicted as the top guy in the field. And I get it. I understand it. Makes sense to me. Rory, in my opinion, has just not played well. He has not played well this year. This is a big event for Rory. Huge event. He just needs to put something together. Needs to start playing gets four good rounds. Again, it's not like he had a bad finish. He finished like, what, T8 or something last week? So he backdoors his way into these top 10s a lot. But I want to see him, just want to see him get in the mix. I think his wedge game still from 100 yards is pedestrian at best. Not for a guy of his talent. He needs to just sit there. I don't know how many 100-yard wedge shots he has to hit, but he's got to hit a million of them to get where he needs it to be. Rory should be winning more than he is. He just should be. And I'm curious to see how he plays this week. European guys do really well on this golf course. Only two American players who have won this event since 2006. Matt Every has won it twice. Tiger's won it two or three times. Matt Every, Tiger. Everybody else, foreign. I think Leish has won this event. Roars has won this event. Francesco Molinari. Tyrrell Hatton is the defending champion. So European guys do pretty well here. And also Jordan Spieth's playing here for the first time. Cool to see Jordan Spieth back. Let's take a look at some of the guys in the field this week before we get to my picks. Obviously, I mentioned Roars. Victor Hovland's playing this week. And Victor is on a heater right now. So this could be really good for him. Bryson DeChambeau, who is up and down big time right now. I have no idea what to make of Bryson's game. Patrick Reed's in the field this week. Tyrell Hatton, Sungjae Im. No surprise there. Sungjae has played double the events of just about everybody else. Matt Fitzpatrick in the field this week. Fitzpatrick played pretty well last week. Paul Casey, Matsuyama, Spieth, Oosthuizen, Jason Day, Billy Ho, Francesco Molinari, Tommy Fleetwood, Mark Leishman, Will Zalatoris. Also Max Homa, Justin Rose, and Ricky Fowler, who is in desperate need of a good finish because he is on the verge of missing the Masters for the first time in 11 years. Ricky's got to find some magic, and how, like fast, soon. He is sinking like a rock in the original Rolex golf rate rankings. He needs to get it going. This is a big week for Rory McIlroy. He loves this event. He's usually kind of like an unofficial host here. Needs to play well. I'm going to keep my eye on Ricky this week. He's in a feature group, so we'll see how that plays out. I like watching Ricky play, and I like his golf swing. I like some of the stuff he's doing, but man, it's got to show up eventually. Got to see it. Also, good luck to some of these other guys in the field. I love Steve Stricker playing. Graham McDowell's playing this week. Brandon Grace, who won last week in Puerto Rico. Good for Brandon Grace. That guy's awesome. If you haven't, I mean, I'll tell you what. I watched Brandon Grace hit balls for 45 minutes at Erin Hills, and I was mesmerized. I thought Rory hit the ball the best I ever seen, but the second best guy I thought on the driving range is Brandon Grace. I mean, that guy just hit nothing but missiles for 45 minutes. And so I feel like that guy needs to, I don't know how he doesn't win 2-3 times a year with his game. Good God. It's not there some weeks. It drives me insane, but it was good to see him get a win last week. He's going to be a factor this week, I think. We'll see. We'll see how that translates. I'd like to see him play well for a second week in a row. All right, my picks. Let's get to them on this abbreviated PGA preview pod. All right, here we go. I am going to go with Rory. He is the top guy in the field. I'm going to take the chalk. I need to see if Rory, I feel like no matter what's going to make the cut. There's no way Rory misses the cut here. No way. I'm going to take him to make the cut. I think he does it. I'm going for Rory to have a good tournament that way. So I'm going to take him. He's made 7 of 8 cuts this year. That has not been a problem. He backdoored a top 10. Worst case, I think that's what he's going to do. Like to see him come out and win it, though. I'm going to play the guy who I think has just played his way into big events. He's played his way into the WGC. He played his way into the Masters. He's going to play his way into the match play. And he doesn't even have really official tour membership. He's got temporary status. I'm going to take Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris, he's made 10 of 11 cuts, and he is playing great. Playing great. Maybe another reason why Matt Wolf is scuffling, because he's watching all these young guys step forward and play well. I think they're waiting on him. I'm going to take a European here, a guy from overseas who is a really good player on the European Tour. I think he's going to play well this week. I like Robert McIntyre, Big Bob, lefty, I think. And he's only played 2 events here in the United States. He's made the cut both times. Good player, hits the ball well. I would not be surprised to see him be a factor. I also think lefties are not bad here, although they haven't necessarily traditionally won here. I don't think they've necessarily played bad, though. So I'm going to take Robert McIntyre to play well. I'm going to take Hideki Matsuyama, who, I'll tell you what, if he could just putt average, would already have 2 wins this year, because he is hitting the hell out of the golf ball right now. Hitting the hell out of it. Just not putting great like normal. But he's made 10 of 12 cuts this year. I'm taking Hideki. I think he's going to play well this week. Ian Poulter, cheap price. I'm getting him on a total bargain here. $8,700 in the fantasy to get Ian Poulter. Give me a break. Give me a guy who lives in the area. Give me a guy who's a great putter and somebody who I think shows up to play in big events. I like Ian Poulter here. I think he's going to play well. And I'm going to take Siwoo Kim. He won in California, but we're nearing the Players, and I think he likes Bermuda and Florida golf courses. I really think he likes this stuff. He played great, obviously, at Sawgrass a couple years ago when he won. He doesn't mind courses that have wind. He doesn't mind courses that have water. I think he plays well in those environments. I would not be surprised to see Siwoo Kim play well here this week. He's a little more hit and miss, though. He's a microwave guy. He's a hot and cold guy. He's only made 8 of 13 cuts, but he's got a win. He's got, you know, top 20s, and then he's got some missed cuts. He's a feast or famine guy. So we'll see what we get out of Siwoo Kim. I'm going to pray that we get the cut-making Siwoo Kim, the guy who makes a bunch of birdies and gets himself in the mix early on. Because when Siwoo's on, I'm telling you, he's fantastic. Terrific player when he's on. I'm going to root for that. I'm going to watch for it. I'm going to hope that it happens. So there we go. McIlroy, Zalatoris, McIntyre, Matsuyama, Poulter, and Kim. Now you say, Tim, why not Jordan Spieth? He's your guy. You rode the heater. Why not Max Homa? You were riding the heater. Fair? Very fair? Max has been playing. This is, I think, like 6 weeks in a row for Max Homa. And he's going to play the Players next week. I just wonder at some point if he needs to get a week off here because he's starting to... You just worry that he's going to run on fumes. He's playing out the streak. He's doing a great job. Max is having a great season. I'm rooting for Max Homa. I want this thing to happen for him. But I got to take a break. I worry that this might be a two and out for Max Homa. I think this is going to have to run short at some point. Spieth, I like, but Spieth has not played great traditionally in Florida. He likes playing there. He likes Florida, but he's only won at the Valspar at Copperhead at Innisbrook. And that was in 2015 when he was hot as a pistol. He has not played this tournament before. He's not played great at the Players. So to me, this is a little bit of a wait and see on Spieth. He has not played this event. I want to see how he does. I'll tell you this. If he plays well this week, then I'm going to start to think he might be back for real, right? Because the rough's up here. It's not an easy course to drive. He played in California where he was pretty comfortable out there on the Poana. We'll see how comfortable he is here in Florida. If he is, look out. If he's in the mix this week, look out. He's on the verge of winning. Mark my words. If he plays well this week, he will win in the next month or two. I'm willing to believe that. I'm going to stake my claim on it. So I'm not going to jinx Jordan. I'm going to keep him off my picks this week. I'm going to let Jordan kind of make it happen. I'm going to let it breathe. Going to let it bake. Going to see how it goes. I'm rooting for you, Jordan. Make it happen for me. Elsewhere, LPGA, huge hats off to Nelly Korda. By the way, folks, if you aren't watching when Nelly Korda's playing golf, you got to get off your ass. Like, you got to figure it out. You got to watch some LPGA Tour golf. Nelly Korda is freaking awesome, and so is Jessica Korda. The Korda sisters are going to take over women's golf for the next 5 to 10 years. Just keep an eye on it. It's going to happen. Is it going to be Venus Serena in tennis? I'm not ready to go that far. I'm not ready to go that far yet because those South Korean players are fantastic. There's a million of them, and they're coming left and right. They're good. All of them are good, including Jin Young Ko, who is the number one player in the world. But Nelly Korda stared down Jin Young Ko, stared down Lydia Ko, stared down Lexi Thompson, all those players last week at Lake Nona, and beat them all. And I'm convinced didn't even play with her best stuff. Like, she wasn't even playing great on Sunday and still won. By the way, Lydia Ko is going to win this year. Lydia Ko is going to win once or twice this year before the year is out. She's back. She's back. And let's not forget how good she was and how young she still is. I'm a big Lydia Ko fan. I think this is going to happen. But Nelly Korda has won once. Now, Jessica Korda won a couple weeks ago. Nelly's won. These two combined are going to win 7 or 8 times this year. They're that good. Nelly is that good. Jessica's really good, too. Don't kid me. Nelly and Jessica are both fantastic. Daniel Kang, terrific. Nelly Korda is going to win 4 or 5 times this year, including a major. I'm going to pick her to win the ANA Inspiration right now. I think she wins it. And get in on it, folks. She's awesome. Start watching LPGA Tour Golf. They play a lot closer to the amateur style. Not every par 5 is reachable, although they reach a hell of a lot of them, especially somebody like Brittany Lincecum hits it a ton. But they play a lot closer to what guys like me like to play, and I'm interested to see how they're able to play 6,600, 6,700-yard courses, hitting it 240, 245 off the tee, hitting it 250 off the tee, and working the ball around. Sometimes they're hybrids into greens, which is kind of like me. And so I like seeing that element of their game come together, and it's really cool to watch. So good for Nelly Korda. I'm rooting for this week. They're going to keep playing. They're playing Golden Ocala down in Florida, which is like a composite course. Like, it's a makeup of all those famous holes. Like, they've got like three Augusta-like holes there, and it's so it's going to be cool to watch on TV. I'm actually looking forward to watching that event tomorrow. I'm also looking forward to starting to watch the API. So my pick to win this week, I'd like it to be Rory, but I don't think it's going to be Rory. I am going to go with a European, though, because the Europeans seem to do well at this event. So give me Victor Hovland on the heater. Give it to me. Give me the Norwegian on the heater. I'm going to take Victor Hovland to win this week. Good luck, Victor Hovland. I can't have you on fantasy because I couldn't afford you. But I think you can win this week. Go get it done, Victor Hovland. Try to win this event. Get your third win on your PGA career. And it's on between Hovland and Morikawa at that point. Let's see it. It's going to be fun. All right, folks, that'll do it for the pod. I want to tell you what's coming up here. Lauren is joining me in studio tomorrow. Peak Cinema returns to the podcast. We are looking at the 1985 classic, The Breakfast Club. That's right, The Breakfast Club. Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, and the like. Lauren, I, Ryan, we're going to break that down. We're going to talk about it. All of our favorite scenes, figure out who wins that movie. It's going to be great, Peak Cinema. If you have Peak Cinema ideas, I'd love to hear it. You can tweet at me at Mr. Tim Anderson. Send it to me on Instagram as well, at Mr. Tim Anderson. You can also email the pod at timpodcast1@yahoo.com, facebook.com/timpodcast. And wherever you get your podcast, continue to subscribe and support everything that we are doing here in our little underground fledgling podcast universe that we are generating here. So I want to continue to thank you for all of your support. It's been fantastic. Continue to listen, and we will chat again really soon. Good luck. Watch the golf this week. Enjoy it. The guys are coming back for football, too, I think, this weekend as well. We're going to have the boys back. It's going to be, man, we got a lot of crap going on here at the pod. It's going to be awesome. So till then, keep your head up. I'll see you next time.